you're not familiar with this chapter in the book of Philippians, it is a tremendous, tremendous portion of Scripture. It reveals some powerful secrets to us about the mystery of godliness, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And there is so much confusion about that. And there are so many different people that have so many different things to say about it. Everybody, it seems, anymore has their own idea of what it means. But few have been able to fuse their ideas perfectly with the Word of God. And so, this is an excellent portion of Scripture to open our understanding to the nature of God and to who it was that lived in the man Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, don't be so self-centered that you're not aware of what's going on in people's lives around you, and the impact that what you do will have on them. And we have this example for us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And this is a rich, rich couple verses here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Continuing the discussion of lowliness of mind, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then we come to our key verses. Wherefore, my beloved, verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Everybody say work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, no grumbling, no complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That is a rich, rich portion of Scripture. Very rich. And I want to talk to you today, continuing our short sermon series called Exercise Yourself, and our second installment of the series today, and I have entitled it Your Personal Workout. And let me read, if you want to read along with me in your handouts, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 in the English Standard Version. Let's read that out loud together right off the handouts, if you would read with me. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Last week we talked about the best exercise ever, godliness. Godliness was a difficult subject to wrap my head around and put it into a sermon form. But it's putting our spiritual experiences and our religion to work practically in our day-to-day lives. It has to do with how we treat others on a case-by-case and day-by-day basis, moment-to-moment. This week we're going to discuss how to keep our salvation healthy. Paul says, as you have obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Is everybody present this morning? And so I have a little question for you. What do you do when no one is looking? Have you ever caught yourself doing something unconsciously and then you realize that it was something that you didn't want to be doing for somebody to possibly see you doing it, and you stopped yourself and you said, well, I hope nobody was watching when I did that. God has given me a unique ministry, an uncanny ministry to wear that. And if it happened just one time, I would think that it a fluke or just a passing opportunity. But if it happens 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and on, then you start to realize that God has given you a ministry. And I have an uncanny ministry of being in the right place at the right time and to see people doing the wrong things. And it's almost funny and humorous, but of course, in the eyes of God, it's not. But sometimes God gives us insight into things and shows us things about people so that we can help them. A lot of people see things and they sense negative things in the spirit, but they never realize why God is doing that. Sometimes God shows you things because He wants you to help that person, to pray for that person, to support that person, to encourage them. Ever been caught doing something that you didn't want anybody to catch you doing, like picking your nose? Ever do that? You're driving down the road and you see somebody and they got their nose stuck up, finger stuck up their nose. You know what? You know why you don't use this finger to pick your nose? Because it's mine. Singing to yourself? How many of you sing to yourself when nobody's around? How many of you are horrible singers when nobody's around? And how many of you are embarrassed to death when somebody catches you singing? You're just in there, oh, what a day that will be when God drew the arch over, when He looked upon His face. And your wife or your husband walks in, and you're like, it's not a fun feeling, is it? It's weird to get caught doing things that when you think nobody's watching you. But I'm here to tell you, there is one person that is always watching us. Whether we know it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, God is always watching us. And the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, now I know that you guys did a really good job of behaving yourselves and acting like good Christians when I was in Philippi with you. But he said, now that I am not with you, it's not time to change your tune, but it's time that you actually behave yourself even better than you did when I wasn't there. Now you're on your own. And when I'm not there, you need to continue to behave yourself as followers of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks that when they're in church on Sunday morning, they look good, they talk good, they walk good, and they have all the things around them, and they talk the talk, you know, and everything is good. But if your salvation only lasts as long as it takes to walk out the front doors of the church, then there's something missing inside of your heart. That is not an experience. That is not even a religion. That is just hypocrisy. It's a false start. And I am here today as God's spokesperson to cry foul, to cry a penalty upon those whose religion and their experience only last as long as it takes them to walk out that front door. Before we can start working out, we've got to have something working inside us. Before we can start working out, before we can start lifting, heavy lifting, we have got to have something working inside of us. Not something that only lasts as long as the choir is singing, as long as the musicians are playing, as long as the worship service is going on. Let me tell you something. Music is not a worship service. It is just an aspect of worship. Preaching is also a part of worship. Giving in the offering is also a part of worship. Testifying, praying, bringing needs, it is all a part of worship. Tongues, interpretations, and prophecies, and words of wisdom and knowledge, they are all a part of our time together. They are all just as equally important. But before we can start working out, we have got to have something working inside of us. Paul says to the Philippian church, it is God who works in you. Before you can go to the gym and start working out, they tell you that you need to eat the right foods. They tell you that the night before you go, that you should eat certain foods before you go to bed that night. If you know that you're going to expend energy the next morning, you need to bulk up on your carbs before you go to bed that night. And they say that 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after is a very important part, moment of your workout. That 30 minutes before you work out or 30 minutes after you work out, that you should consume a large amount of protein. Because your body for that first 60 minutes after you work out is so highly sensitized to food and to nutrients. And I haven't been working out lately like I should, but can anybody say amen to that? You're in the same situation. It's not, the weather doesn't lend itself to that, I guess, but or it's just the time of year. And I can run and jog and go 3 miles, 4 miles or whatever I do whenever I'm doing what I'm doing. And that never makes me hungry. I can get up and pop a piece of candy in my mouth and I can take the kids to school and come to the church and pray and go back home and do some Bible study, and then I can get up and pop a piece of candy and not eat any food, and I can go for a jog. I can go 2 miles or 3 miles and come home and sit down at the computer and maybe think about eating a bowl of cereal, but I'm not really that hungry. But when I go to the gym and lift weights, I don't know what it is about lifting weights, but it literally makes me feel like I'm starved to death. It's just the weirdest thing. My stomach is just in knots and it's, eat me. You've got to have something in you before you can work out. You've got to have energy inside before you can work out. You've got to have power in your life. And the scripture that is we're reading here, he says that it's God working in you. That word working in you is energy. It is the Greek word energon, where we get our English word energy. Before you can work out, you've got to have energy inside of you. Spiritual energy. The Bible says that He is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible also says that we can do all, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's another scripture that says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond what you could ever ask or think. Megan, finish that scripture for me. I just quoted half of it. How many of you have ever heard the scripture, can quote the scripture, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond what you could ever ask or think? How many of you quote that scripture? What's the rest of it? See, we're bad about that, aren't we? We quote half scriptures, and I have told you this before. In this pulpit, this same crowd, I have told you this a dozen times. But how many of you still don't remember the other half of that scripture? God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond whatever we can ask or think. What's the rest of that verse? If you don't know the rest of that verse, you cannot have that promise. No. According to the power that worketh within us. You've got to have energy of the Holy Ghost inside of you before you can work out. Wrote it down somewhere. Write it down. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what above and beyond we could ever ask or think about. And some people, what you think, you're like, well, I can think some pretty big things. How many of you can think some pretty big things that you'd like for God to do? I'm going to tell you how God is going to do those things. You are going to let His power get inside of you and work in you. And when His power is working and His energy is moving inside of you, there is nothing that you cannot do. Walk out the door and forget what the preacher said. Walk out the door and forget what you felt. Walk out the door and people would never even know you had ever, ever been to a church anywhere or called yourself a Christian. You need something more. You need something inside of you that when you're not in church, it still burns like a fire. You need something inside of you that when the pastor's not looking over your shoulder and he's not out in his night vision goggles on and his camouflage of spying out your house to see whether you're following the rules or not. You need something inside of you that when you're at home behind closed doors, that there is still an energy and a fire inside of you that says, I still want to live for God and do the right thing.
Right.
Paul said we need to be strengthened with might in the inner man. And this is what happens when God starts working in us. Then His power begins to look for a ministry outlet. Jesus said that I'm going to pour my Spirit out on you. I'm going to fill you. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, He said that you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. When you get the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, you can't make it without the Holy Ghost. The power of God will come upon you. And then you will go out and be my witness. You will go out and do great things for me. But it's not until the power of the Holy Spirit of God comes on you. And Jesus said it's going to be like a river of living waters flowing out of your belly. When God's Spirit starts working in you, that's why it's important not to quench the Spirit. When it starts, David said, while I mused, the fire burned. He said, while I was meditating upon the Word of God, while I was thinking about how great God is and how awesome He is, we spent a lot of time thinking about everything else but the Word of God. We spent a lot of time thinking about everything else but how great God is. And David said, when I begin to think about how great God is, and I begin to muse and meditate upon it, that a fire started burning within inside of me. And then he said, I opened my mouth and I began to speak. And so God works in us, and then something begins to work out in our lives. We were created by God. We are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ. Christian life is not a series of ups and downs, but it is a process of ins and outs. God works in us, and then He works out. God works in us, and then He works out. And we have got to learn the difference between making ourselves relevant to the world and making Christ relevant to the world. Come on now. It would have been easy for looking at Jesus on the outside to mistake His dining with various lowlifes of Jewish society. Prostitutes and extortioners and all sorts of societal rejects. All sorts of religious outcasts. And it would be easy to look at Him and say, you know what, Jesus is trying to get in with the in crowd. He's trying to make Himself relevant. He's letting down the standards. He's lowering the standards. He is not living the life that he should live, but he was operating on an eternal principle instead of an outward regulation. He was regulated by something in his soul, by something inside of him. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And I'm here to tell you this morning, when God gets inside of you, you are going to reach out. You are going to do things. There is going to be a yearning with inside of you to touch people and deal with situations in people's lives. But it only comes by the power that is within inside of you. And that power, as it begins to work and generate energy, and as it begins to generate, as you begin to read your Bible, as you begin to pray, as you begin to fast, as you begin to talk to God and live for Him, it begins to stir up a zeal inside of you. And you've got to work out your own salvation, Paul said. You hear a lot of people, you know, "Well, I'm working out my own salvation. I'm doing what the Lord tells me to do." Really? Well, I hope you are. And now that you've joined the club, let's get to work together. Just because the Bible says work out your own salvation doesn't give you a mandate to go out and do your own thing, quote unquote. If we do anything that is to the detriment of people around us, we are not doing the right thing. If what we do damages, injures, and hurts people around us without any reasonable possibility of it being a correction or admonition that could help them in the end, such as a friend wounding another friend to save their soul, we're not talking about that. But I'm talking about just going about doing things. The Bible says the Jews, they have a zeal, but it's not of God. They're energetic. They're going out there throwing Christians in jail. What a dumb idea. They thought they were doing something good. Sometimes we get off like that. We get off half-cocked. We think we're doing something good. I'm seeking out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me tell you something. You have the same salvation that your neighbor does. You're saved by the same blood and the same grace of Jesus Christ that your neighbor is. And there are some things, and I don't have really time to get into it today. There are some things that are absolutes. There are some things in the Word of God that I don't care who you are, where you've come from, or what God has called you to do. There are some things that we all are required to follow. But what I'm saying is that we are all on the same team. We all have the same coach. We all have the same goal to win the game. We all wear the same uniform. But each and every one of us is put in a different position. Somebody's out in left field. Don't discount that sister that's out in left field sometimes. Because she's out there, Brother Davis, for a reason. Out there to catch those left-handers. You know what I'm saying? Don't discount the catcher who's always sitting down on the job. Because when that runner is coming into home plate, they are vitally important. Everybody is important in the kingdom of God. And we each have our own unique place on the team. We each have our own unique place in the body of Christ. I don't have time to get up all of that today. But what I'm saying is that you've got to let the Spirit of God work itself out in your life. It's okay to follow in your parents' footsteps. It's okay to follow in your pastor's footsteps. It's okay to follow in your mentor's footsteps. But somewhere along the line, you have got to eventually follow the unique path that God has laid out specifically for you. Mark chapter 3, verse 35, Jesus says, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Salvation is worked out through obedience. As you have always obeyed, not just in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Salvation is worked out through obedience. Strength is built. How do you build strength? Somebody tell me. John Ray, how do you build muscle? How do you build strength?
Work.
Do the same thing over and over again? That sounds like carpal tunnel. Teasing. That's right. What is that called?
I don't know it.
Brother Davis, what is that called? How do you build strength? Brother Pappas, how do you build strength? What did you say? I couldn't hear you. Exercise. Sister Lois, how do you build strength?
Repetition.
There was that carpal tunnel thing.
No, you're not saying that. You have to gradually increase what you do to make it stronger.
Repetitious.
Like your tongue, you read your Bible.
What is that called? I am looking for a particular word. And all your answers are good.
Repetitious.
Repetition. You guys have bored me to death with that. I hate that. Sister Lois, now, what is that called? When you gradually build... resistance. You already said it. How do you build strength? You build strength by repetition. That is absolutely true. You come to the church when you can and you pray every day. You read your Bible every day and you build up on that. But you know what? After you've been doing that for a while, you know what I mean? After you've been doing the same thing for a while, you know what your body does? Your body plateaus. It gets used to that and it no longer is effective. So you have to continually increase the resistance. You have to face new challenges, new things. And so strength is built through resistance. Hebrews, write this down in your notes. Hebrews 5 and 8. Although he was a son, Hebrews 5, 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. How do I build up my spiritual muscles? Through obedience. And how does obedience flesh it out? What is the barbell that's hanging on the iron? What is the iron? It is obedience. This is obedience. And what is the weight that's hanging on? It's suffering. And God says to Abraham, I want you to get out of your country. I want you to leave your family. And I want you to go out there somewhere. He had to work out his obedience. And he went out there and he suffered a lot of things. And then God said, you know what? I'm going to give you a son when you're 100 years old. When he was 100 years old, he had to go in there in the tent to his wife and they had to have a kid. Brother Pappas, they had to go in there. Well, I'm not going to get into the details of it. Let you use your imagination. But he had to be obedient. And it was more weight. And then when his son got older, they started, his wives and his sons started fighting amongst them. God said, you need to get rid of Ishmael and kick him out of the house. And what's even worse was it was Sarah's idea, it was his wife's idea. And God said, you need to obey your wife. Ouch. Put a little more resistance on there. And his faith got stronger and stronger. And then God did the ultimate. God said, all right, here it is. Here's the deadlift, baby. We're going to slap some extra weight on here. I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice your son. Obedience is the workout. Suffering is the resistance that we experience. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. You know what it says in verse 8? 1 Peter chapter 5. The devil is like a roaring lion, going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We have to work out our salvation by obeying God in the midst of trial and tribulation. That's how we work out our salvation. When it's God tells us to, God told one young man, he came to him and said, "Master, I've done everything that I know that I'm supposed to do, but I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. Something is still missing. What should I do?" Jesus said, "Go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." You want to have the salvation that your heart desires? You want to grow and you want to mature and you want to experience me on the level that you know you can? All right, go sell everything you have. And what's worse, Brother John Gray, he said, give it to the poor. You talk about adding insult to injury. It's one thing to ask me to sell everything and become poverty stricken. It's another thing to tell me to give it to people who maybe aren't the best stewards in the world. Now they're just going to take it and consume it and it's going to be gone. He went away sorrowfully. Why? Because it was too much. He couldn't get it up off of his chest. He needed somebody to spot him, didn't he? Sometimes there ain't nobody out there to spot you. Sometimes you have to work out your own salvation. Sometimes you got to hear the voice of God for yourself. We all have to repent of our sins. We all have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We all have to have the gift and the energy and the power of the Holy Ghost, His Spirit moving in us and flowing out of us like a river of living water. We all must be faithful to the body of Christ and attendance and loving one another and all of those things. But there are some times and situations where God has got you in a corner by yourself and He says, "I want you to go stronger in me, and here's what I'm going to put you through." Thanks, God. And we don't think anything about that when we're in the gym, do we? Come on! You can do it! Man up! Ladies don't do that. They just all crown each other's shoulders. And, "Oh, it's your all of you." But, no, really. But sometimes you need somebody to challenge you. Sometimes there's nobody there but you and God and the devil. And you have got to work out your salvation. There's a difference between working for salvation and working out salvation. You can't do anything to earn salvation. It's a free gift of God. But once God has saved you, and once He has energized you with the Holy Ghost, then you have just begun your journey, and you've got to work it out. You've got to work it out. God does His part in us. He literally gives us a gold mine as an inheritance. We start walking with God. Brother Patrick, all we have to do is get us a little pan and kneel down by the stream of the Holy Ghost and pick up some silt and slosh it around and slosh it and slosh it, and pretty soon we'll see some gold nuggets down the bottom. And sometimes, you know, when you first start out living for God, it's easy. It's you can just go right down, get your little metal detector out, and you can just walk around. And you can dig down a little bit and pull you out a little gold nugget. And it's so easy to make money. It's so easy to be rich spiritually. But after all of the surface benefits have been removed and have been expended, then you've got to go down. Some of the gold in the mine that God gives to us as an inheritance is buried deep down in the earth, and we have to dig down and make tunnels and use explosives. And some of the gold that God has given us to inherit is actually distributed like fine particles through it with other metals. You know, some of the biggest gold mines, if you go to a copper mine or something where the main metal that is ore is copper, they get tons and tons of gold from that. Some of it has to actually be pulverized and put into a solution, and chemicals have to be added to it, and then the gold begins to formulate and it can be extracted. And it's nice when it just shows up and you just pick it up and go, look what I found. But as you live with God and as you walk with God, that no longer satisfies and meets the need. And you have got to add resistance. If God calls us to do things and obey Him in areas that we would have never imagined that we could before. Some of you are living for God today and you are doing things right now today. You've done things this week and you have probably thought this thought to yourself. And I've heard some of you say, if I wasn't a Christian... Maybe you thought to yourself, you know, if it had been 10 years ago, I would have knocked that person's block off. If it had been 20 years ago, I would have told this person exactly what I really thought. But you have built up your strength spiritually, and you're able to control yourself, and the power of God works in you. And you can say things and do things, and people look at you, and they would have never known you before you met Jesus Christ. And you have learned that some gold can only be found when it's tried in the fire and smelted away from all the other junky garbage. We've got to work it out in obedience to God. Obedience. There's a Hans and Franz must have got a hold of that slide. Obedience. Our salvation. And this is why, what is the purpose of all of this? The purpose of all of this is our salvation, and the salvation of others depends on our obedience. The Apostle Paul said, don't just seek out your own salvation, but he said you need to seek it out with fear and trembling. That's pretty intense, isn't it? Why? Because you're afraid I'm going to make a mistake. And God is going to get out the bullwhip and break the sound barrier on my rump. Well, sometimes that might not be a bad idea. No. Our salvation, the salvation of others, depends on our obedience. It depends on us adhering to the direction, the guidance of what we feel inside of us. Sometimes I think we're more careful and concerned about things which have little present or immediate or eternal value. We can spend hours and days and weeks and months shopping for some gadget or knickknack or garment or tool to round out our collection, to satisfy that inner yearning. And I love to shop just as much as everybody else. I may not like to go clothing shopping, but that doesn't mean I don't like to shop. And I shopped for my new computer for 2 years. On the websites and on the review sites. And then I went to the stores and touched them and looked at them and drooled over them. I don't know if you ever done anything like that. We can spend hours and days doing that. We can toss and turn for nights on end about how we're going to pay the bills, about our health issues, about our relationships, and not even give a cursory glance to our eternal soul. We can make endless phone calls and write letters and generally just get in somebody's face because we were overcharged by a couple of bucks. But spent less than 5 minutes all week long reading the Word of God. We can skimp and scrimp and save to buy that new toy. We can scheme and plan tirelessly for that fun getaway. But we'll forsake the assembling of ourselves together with other believers for weeks and months on end. Jesus Himself was our example. Without His obedience on the cross, there would be no salvation for anyone. Jesus set the workout pattern for us. Humble ourselves in mind and become obedient to God. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Every church, John the Baptist talked to seven churches that were in Asia Minor. And he specially mentioned these seven churches. They all have the same salvation. They all have the same example, Jesus Christ. But each of them struggle within their own city and culture and church with specific issues that other churches did not struggle with, that other churches in other cities did not have a problem with. And they all were going through things, and each of them had specific issues they had to work out in obedience to God. So my question today for you is, if you want to turn your handouts over, there are some questions for reflection on the back. And I want you to look at these questions just one at a time. What area are you struggling to obey God? In what area are you struggling to obey God? What ministry is God trying to work out in you? It says of you, but it should be in you. Now, this does sound good too. What ministry is God trying to work out of you? What kind of gold is buried inside of you that God wants you to mine out? Who is watching you and following your example? Well, they came to church and they didn't like the preacher. He was off and he missed it. Well, they came to the church, but they didn't like the music. Well, you know, our church, they need to put a siding on that church. That thing is all peeling and turning black, and I wouldn't want to invite anybody to that church. You know, we attribute to everything else but ourselves what's not happening like it should be. Well, you know, that brother over there, that brother, you know, when he does his thing, or that sister over there, when she starts to shout, that run them off. Well, last time I read the Bible, when people started to shout, it drew people in. Because they wanted to see what was going on. Who is watching you and following your example? Maybe they quit coming to church because they saw something in you that they didn't like. Maybe they didn't come back because there wasn't anything that happened in the church services on Sunday. But they saw something in you on Monday. They saw something in you on Friday night. And they said, I'm not going back to that church. And so you're faced with a challenge. You need to be seeking out your salvation with fear and trembling because people are watching you. And what are some things that would put up resistance to your obedience? That was the question that Megan was answering earlier. What are some things? What are some things that would put up resistance?
Get off the
railroad. How many of you like to ride rides?
I had to do that yesterday. I literally did it too.
It's not that hard, is it?
No, it made me feel like I got the power back, but in the meantime, I had to deal with all the mind games, and I never answered the point of reacting. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to react to that. You cannot show his love.
He's fishing for you just like you're fishing for men.
I'm not fishing for
wisdom of the Holy Spirit. God has a way of working things out of you. Some of you ladies, you like that commandment of Jesus, don't you? I will make you fishers, and that's why there's so many women in the church. All right. I'm not going to get all off on this irreverent tune here. What are some things that will put up resistance to your obedience? Yeah, people will. People say, you can't go to that church. You can't act like that. You know why? Because it makes them uncomfortable. You know, you can argue, you can yell and scream and cuss and fight all you want to. There's the wall. That's the only thing that's going to respond to you, because I ain't. How many of you like to ride rides? How many of you like to ride rides? You love the thrill. You like that thrill, that weightless feeling. You love. Some people love. My wife loves to ride rides. And she'll spend all day in an amusement park and going up and down the same roller coasters a dozen times and not even think about getting sick. And I can get on one little thing, and one little go-kart thing, and I'm sitting down on the park bench. It's going to be a long day. Watching people go by, Brother Pappas, thinking to myself, why am I wasting my life? Why are people so stupid to climb in those machines and kill them, chop their head or their feet off? This is a dumb idea. I wish I was home right now. I'll carry the packages around and let you ride the bus. Some people love the roller coaster ride. And sometimes our love for the exciting can cause us to not want to obey God, because sometimes God says, you know what? You need to settle down. You need to get off the roller coaster and put your feet on solid ground. I need you to be a marker that's not always on the move. I need you to be a landmark for somebody that is tossing around in the ocean of sin and life. And they need a beacon, a lighthouse that lights a steady signal. Within the world whom you shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation, Paul said, I believe there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst. And we need to be shining the light, saying, if you come over here, be careful, because there are rocks and it will sink your boat. That can cause us to not want to obey God because we like the thrill, the excitement, the challenge. The devil will resist us. The Bible says if we resist him, he will flee. But you can't do that if you're not being obedient. And that is a tough, tough thing for a lot of us to do. And it is our workout. And if you have learned to be consistently obedient to God, look out. Because he's getting ready to put a challenge on you, test you. Because he's getting ready to help you access a new gold mine in the spirit. A new vein of gold. How many of you would like to have access to some gold right now? Why don't we stand together right now? I'm here to tell you there is access. But for some of you, it's not going to be so easy to get to it. Because you've already mined all the easy to get to stuff out of the kingdom of God. For some of you, it's going to be take a little more work. For some of you, it's going to take a little insight to understand how to do that. And God's going to reveal it to you. Let's talk to God together right now. Jesus, we thank you for your word, O God, which instructs us.